Chapter 9. Epilogue. When the gray clouds started to threaten the first snow of winter, Tong Fan gets his white cloak out again. It's still too warm for the fleece collar, so he unlaces it carefully and lays it back into the cedar chest. He changes out of his uniform, replacing the stiff red with soft white, combs his hair out of its braid, and fetches the lacquered box from where it sits in their small collection of personal treasures, next to Dwarla's knife, Dongar's scissors, and a red silk wisdom pouch. The silver and gold braid of the hairpiece gleams in the low light, and he pins it into his bun carefully in the bronze mirror. It feels appropriate to wear it tonight. It's been a year since Tang Yu and Pei Huai married, since months since the formalities of Dwarla and Cui Zhou's wedding finally came to a close. There's a light knock on the door, and Tong Fan calls out for the visitor to enter. Deng Er pokes her head around the screen that masks Cui Zhou and Tong Fan's bed from the entryway to their room. Tong Daga, are you ready yet? They must be waiting. Aiya, Deng Er, don't rush me. Deng Er rolls her eyes. Tong Fan secretly loves to see it, a childish expression in an increasingly adult face. They needed to buy her new clothes last month. This time, at her insistence, in earthy browns and reds to match Dwarla's. She'd grown a hand taller at least since they returned from Hutao. Within the next few months, she would be on eye level with Tang Yu. All right, Tong Fan says after fussing a few moments more. He slings the cloak over his shoulders. Let's go. They walk through the dim twilight until the warm glow of the restaurant appears in front of them, lanterns illuminating the sign above the wide open doors. Sui's restaurant. It was meant to be Sui and Tong's restaurant, Tong Fan had protested, and Dwarla had thrown her head back and laughed, shoving him playfully. Who is Sui Furen? She teased. When you finally leave your government job like Guang Chuan has, then you can call your consulting business Sui and Tong. They push through the doors, past the closed tonight sign pinned to the wooden panels. Pei Huai, Tong Yu, and Cheng Er are already sitting around the huge table. And as Deng Er and Tong Fan greet them, Wu Yin and Dwarla emerge from the kitchen with huge platters of food held in their arms. Tong Yu and Pei Huai leap up to help. Tong Fan sits and stares in awe. Dwarla Jia, is this all from Guangchuan's new recipes? Dwarla nods, laying out platters on the table. The different colors and textures of each dish making Tong Fan's mouth water. He leans forward and closes his eyes to inhale the delectable fragrances rising softly on wisps of steam. Dwarla wipes her hands on her apron, then removes it to take her seat at the table. Where's Cui Zhou? Tong Fan pulls a face. The Emperor summoned him this afternoon. He thought it might be another case, but the Empress Dowager may have waylaid him on the way back. Tong Fan can't really complain. Since the wedding, instead of reinstating Cui Zhou, the Emperor has seemed perfectly satisfied with him acting as informal bodyguard and investigative assistant to the governor of the Shuntian Prefecture. And if the Emperor called upon him with relative frequency to suggest cases for the governor and his assistant to work on, well, Tong Fan wasn't going to complain. With Tong Fan's own salary, the income from the restaurant, and Cui Zhou's family fortune, He's in no hurry for Sui Zhou to go back to his role at the Imperial Guard. Especially as Sui Zhou hasn't had a nightmare in months. Tang Fan had been concerned about the impact to Sui Zhou's reputation, but after seeing him work for days on end in the kitchen with Duarla and Wu Yan, developing the restaurant's signature dishes, it didn't seem to matter anymore. Sui Zhou was happy. As if summoned by Tang Fan's thoughts, Sui Zhou finally arrives. He smiles at the greetings and stops by Dong Ar to hand her a small parcel wrapped in oilskin. "A letter from Wang Daga?" Dong Ar asks excitedly, and Sui Zhou nods. Dong Ar unwraps it hurriedly as Sui Zhou makes his way around the table to where Tang Fan sits. His hand rests lightly on the back of Tang Fan's neck, and when Tang Fan tilts his head back up to look at him, Sui Zhou drops a brief kiss onto Tang Fan's smiling lips before taking his seat at Tang Fan's side. He hands Tang Fan another letter. "From Qinga," he murmurs. There are no murmurs of Wangxia returning to the capital, but with the way relations between Ming and Oirat have flourished since last spring, they are already planning to make the journey to Hutao again in spring.
"Sui Furen,"
Sui Zhou says seriously and bows across the table towards Duarla.
"Thank you for preparing this delicious meal."
Duarla throws a chopstick at him like a spear. Sui Zhou snatches it out of the air calmly, pairs it with another, and starts serving food onto Tang Fan's plate. Laughter bubbles around the table, and Tang Fan drinks it in until his chest is full. He's home. The end. Author's notes. The poem Wangxia uses as code in Chapter 2 is Resented Paintings by Meng Jiao. There is a link to the poem in the text. Reader's notes about language and pronunciation. So I'm recording these reader's notes after recording Chapter 1 before recording Chapter 2. And I forget exactly who speaks what in the fic at this time, so I'm going to describe a bunch of stuff that I'm thinking of, and hopefully it all works out. So this fic not only has a bunch of Mandarin words, but also introduces Oirat. And I stumbled on this. This was actually a thing that I had to, recording this has been slower than I had wanted or expected, because I had to figure out, the Oirat. And so what I have figured out, thus far, I've done some reading. I read somebody's dissertation about the phonology of modern Oirat, at least a dialect of it. And I'm still not confident in my ability to recreate anything of the language. I'm a terrible mimic, but I'm also not great at, like, learning from books. So, yeah.
I also rewatched episode 4, I think, where Dwarla and Wu Yin actually introduce themselves to Tong Fan. And from watching that scene, the scene where they're all arguing about the cloak and the goat and the chopsticks, I came to a couple of conclusions about how I'm going to handle the Oirat in this fic. How, hopefully, because this will be at the end, how I have handled this. Because I noticed in that scene, when Dwarla, when she is saying her own name to Tong Fan in, I don't know what language they are using in the show, but I'm just going to go with Oirat. When she is introducing herself in her own language, the pronunciation is very different than the pronunciation that Wu Yin uses when he translates. So I'm going to run with that because as terrible as my Mandarin I am sure is, I am in no way confident that my Mandarin is good. I would like to think it is not the worst anymore. Like, I'm still working on it. But I would never say it's good. But it's going to be better than a language that I have never heard, never seen before, have no idea how it has been romanticized, like put into pinyin. It's going to be better than that because I have at least some practice with Mandarin. So I'm going to run with what happens in that scene, which is whenever a character, say in chapter 1, when Wu Yin is talking to Dong Ar and Tong Fan about various tribes and stuff, I am going to, he's going to use, or whatever character, if they're talking to a Ming character, and mostly in quote-unquote Mandarin, like they would be talking in the Ming language of the time, so in the English words, if they're talking like that, I'm going to use the Mandarin pronunciations of, like, I'm going to pronounce these things as if I were reading Mandarin pinyin. So if there's a character that's either a Ming character talking to a Ming character or an Oirat character talking to a Ming character, and all they're using is like a word here or there, place names, that sort of thing, I am going to use the Mandarin reading of the pinyin. If I come upon an Oirat character either using like a full phrase, like obviously speaking full sentences, or if it's an Oirat character speaking to, like, obviously speaking in Oirat to someone, or if it's an Oirat person speaking to another Oirat person, with, like, even if the rest of their words are in English, if those ones, then I will do my absolute best. I will go back to all my charts and that sort of stuff, like all the phonology. At that point, I will lean heavily on that and try to pronounce the words, try to interpret the pinyin to be pronounced in some vague way inspired by the Oirat that I have been studying. I say inspired by, and I'm using like a million qualifiers because, again, I am sure it is going to be terrible. And this isn't me trying to set expectations low because you've already heard it. But just because, again, I have very little practice and have no one to talk to about this. Anyway, I'm doing this for, obviously, character reasons. But also, again, as I said at the beginning, because I have, you know, at least a little bit of experience attempting to pronounce Mandarin and none with Oirat. Yeah. So that's the explanation of that. I have done a lot of like reading and thinking about how to encounter this. And I hope it comes out okay.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!